This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
I like the way you cross the street, cause you're
precious.
Moving through the Cleveland heat, how precious.
Yes, it's a favorite of my co-host, Vonnie Quinn. A little precious, a little... Yes, it is. Go ahead. Little Pretenders there on this Wednesday afternoon, January 16th. And here to help us understand more about precious metals, Will Rhind. He is the managing director of ETF Securities, where they have nearly $30 billion, including U.S. dollar products, under management. Will Rhind, good to have you with us here on Bloomberg.
Thanks, Tim. Good to be here.
Explain, if you can, the ETF world, exchange-traded funds, and how they mimic the price of a specific commodity. Because if you have an investment product, can that price be changed based on the supply and demand, not for the underlying commodity, but the supply and demand of the actual exchange-traded fund?
Well, the precious metal ETFs that we have at ETF Securities are really quite simple. They're trusts that own just simply one asset, and that's physical precious metals, be it gold, be it silver, platinum, or palladium. So one share is fully backed by a corresponding amount of metal, which is stored in a secure vault, in our case somewhere in Switzerland, or in London, depending on what product that you buy. And literally, all it does is it just replicates the spot price of that metal by tracking it up or down, less the associated management fees for the product, which are fairly small.
So if an investor goes out and purchases a share of the gold exchange-traded fund, then your exchange-traded fund will go out and then purchase a corresponding amount of physical gold?
That's exactly right. So each share that you own, therefore, is backed by the real thing, i.e. physical gold sitting in a vault, and therefore you track the price. If the price of gold goes up 10%, the price of your ETF investment or your share goes up 10%, you know, less the management fee.
Well, at some point, though, there's a sort of a feedback loop, right? If there's enough people getting in and out of these ETFs, it affects the price of gold.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess it's simple economics in that respect, that all you're doing is buying physical gold, and you're no different to any other investor or consumer in the world. You're part of the global demand chain for gold. And to the extent that, you know, people buy more gold, and therefore the corresponding demand for gold goes up, or people sell the ETF shares, that gold comes out of the vault and is released into the market, and therefore you're contributing to the supply of gold.
Will, can you describe the flows of money into precious metal ETFs? Start with gold for us.
Yeah, so last year was a pretty significant year in terms of flow. I mean, I should say that the broader context is we've experienced pretty dramatic flows into gold ETFs and precious metal ETFs more broadly since the very first ETF was invented by ETF Securities all the way back in 2003. So really 10 years ago, it went from zero to now that market is globally 146 $0.6 billion as at the end of last year.
$146.6 billion.
Correct. In physical gold. Over the last 10 years, invested in gold ETFs around the world. So really quite a staggering amount. And that would put it in one of the top five, if this was a central bank, one of the top five central banks in the world. So you could call it the people's central bank, if you will.
And what are central banks doing when it comes to buying gold?
Well, I think I'd make two distinctions. Central banks that have money and central banks that don't have money. Central banks that have money are buying gold. And more specifically, we're talking about economies that have large foreign exchange surpluses or current account surpluses. Typically, we're talking about the emerging market economies. And really, the big trend has been over the last few years in terms of global sales of gold, central banks have gone from being net sellers of gold to net buyers. I should point out that, of course, the major economies in the West, the U.S. principally and in Europe, are not buying gold because they obviously have other problems to deal with. But those that do have money and typically are accumulating large reserves of U.S. dollars in particular are buying gold, and they're buying gold at a significant rate. And that's
now, at some point, that would stop, though, Will, right? Because governments don't particularly want to tolerate gold superseding their own currencies, for example. So if gold were to strengthen quite a bit, would that stop?
I think that you're absolutely right. There comes a point where, you know, we're not living in a gold standard world anymore, where one nation's exchange or currency, if you will, is backed fully by gold. Saying that, if you look at the percentage of gold owned by, you know, the U.S. and a certain lot of European countries as a percentage of their currency reserves, we're talking about a level which is significantly higher than, say, in China or other emerging markets. So conceivably, if they want to build, say, 5% of their total currency reserves into gold, we still have quite a long way to go before we get there.
Will, tell us about some of the other exchange-traded funds that you follow. I want to ask you about agricultural ETFs. Are they becoming more popular?
They are, although I have to say the last couple of years have been a little bit more lackluster, I'd say, for the agricultural commodities. They're still a popular sector, but I think that their popularity has waned somewhat from a few years ago, certainly before the financial crisis, when, you know, that was a big, big secular trend. I think you know, one of the things about agricultural commodities is they are more cyclical, and I think they, along with industrial metals, have suffered a little bit in terms of investor demand since the financial crisis.
Now, what about investing in energy using exchange-traded funds?
Yeah, and energy is another sector which is popular and remains popular. And, of course, the largest components of energy remain oil and gas. And we've seen a huge amount of interest in gas, with principally all of the activity going on in the broader U.S. economy relating to the shale gas. Energy also, particularly oil and two different blends of oil, remain popular, but we've seen more flows into Brent oil, which is the European standard of crude, than WTI.
Will, do you see any trends in exchange-traded funds? What would be, let's say, a good one to invest in trying to catch a trend to make money?
I think you know, market timing is always the most difficult thing. I think from our own platform, because, you know, we're looking at all the different metals, you know, certainly from the start of this year, we've seen definitely more interest in the pro-cyclical metals, so silver, platinum, palladium, than we have in gold. And I think what that speaks to is a improving investor sentiment over the U.S. and the Chinese economies, particularly the two major economies that people like to talk about these days. I think that there's no doubt that the economic data coming out of those two economies has been getting better. They are showing signs of recovery.
We've got to leave it there. Will Rind, Managing Director, ETF Securities Management.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.